VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk for News Roundup Day. And friends, this world is in turmoil. I mean, it goes well beyond what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, as there are many issues that are taking place in other nations around the world as well. And the U.S. just continues to capitulate on so many different aspects, like removing certain tariffs on China and so forth, allowing Chinese business to expand. It may be just a matter of time before we see a move onto Taiwan. We see also the posturing of Iran and the pushing going on for the removal of the sanctions and a new Iran nuclear deal. Some are talking about sites being on Israel even again. And friends, it just marches on here. We need to recognize that the Lord is in control, number one. And number two, as our late friend Jimmy DeYoung would say, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Certainly, we need to keep our eyes on what is taking place. But friends, we don't want to get so caught up that we become of no earthly good. God has called us to be salt. He's called us to be light. And certainly, we need to advance the good news of the gospel. What a joy it was to hear. Recently talking within the last couple of hours to a missionary friend who is indicating in the Middle East and some of the stand countries the number of people that are coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior, salvation decisions that are being made in Ukraine, those who have been witnessed to for many years, and now recognizing their need to trust Christ as Savior. These are certainly positive things that are taking place amidst this world of turmoil. So, friends, don't shy away from being a light. Don't shy away from being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in times like we live. We're going to be taking a look at various news stories here today on the program. And again, we do thank you for joining us here on the broadcast. We're going to begin with a story that actually came out from Reuters. Russian forces in Ukraine have seized Europe's biggest nuclear power plant today in what Washington has called a reckless assault that risked catastrophe. Although a blaze in a training building was extinguished and officials said the facility was now safe, a Ukrainian presidential advisor said an advance had been halted on the southern city after local authorities said Russian troops had entered it. An official at the Ukrainian state nuclear plant told Reuters that with no further fighting, radiation levels were normal, but said that his organization no longer had contact with the plant's managers or control over its nuclear material. Europeans, please wake up. Tell your politicians Russian troops are shooting at a nuclear power plant in Ukraine, said Ukrainian President Zelensky in a video address. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz became the latest Western leader to phone Putin and demand that he call off the war. The Irish Foreign Minister Simon Coveney lamented that the images we see of apartment blocks and working class areas outside of cities with half of buildings gone is smoldering rubble. Unfortunately, it looks like we're going to see more of this in the coming days and weeks. The picture looks very bleak and very dark in terms of Russia's intentions, and there doesn't seem to be any willingness to discuss a ceasefire, he said. Also, what's very interesting, just latest news coming out of Newsmax.com as well, that Russian troops took control of Europe's largest nuclear power plant, are laying down explosives to blackmail the entire continent, plant workers had warned. They will be trying to mine the nuclear power plant and blackmail the whole of Europe. Employees wrote in a message to Ukrainian media and government authorities. The workers warned that Russian President Putin's forces were putting explosive material near the buildings of the nuclear plant to provide pressure on the Ukrainian army and people. Let's go to the Daily Caller. Russia has devised plans to stage public executions in cities it forces conquer as a way to cut down the morale of Ukrainians, a European intelligence officer, or official, that is, told Bloomberg. In addition to the executions, the plan includes crackdowns on protest and detention of opponents, the official told the outlet. Fox News also cited a European official in reporting the alleged development. Civilians have thus far been put up a tough fight against Russian forces, arming themselves with weapons and Molotov cocktails. Also being reported from Newsmax, more than 1 million people having fled Ukraine following Russia's invasion. is the swiftest refugee exodus this century, the UN said, as the Russian forces kept up their bombardment of the country's second biggest city and laid siege to strategic seaports. Russia reported its military casualties for the first time in the war, saying nearly 500 of its troops had been killed and almost 1,600 wounded. Ukraine did not disclose its own military losses, but said more than 2,000 civilians have died, a claim that could not be independently verified at the time of writing of that story. Also from Newsmax, former President Trump Wednesday calling the growing Russian-Ukraine situation a holocaust, called for an end to the killing that's taking place, and said the escalation has grown because the United States and President Joe Biden are no longer respected. He said you have to work out a deal. They have to stop killing these people. But the United States is spending billions of dollars every day buying Russian oil rather than opening its capabilities. And that is funding Russia's efforts, said Trump. You stop buying their oil, and that will do it, said Trump. We don't need oil from these other countries. These countries are not our friends. We don't need oil from them. The biggest advantage we have over China is the fact they don't have oil. We do. It is liquid gold under our feet. Jihad Watch reporting that Ukraine says a group of Chechen jihadis sent to kill Zelensky have been killed after their plot was foiled. Looking at Western Journal. A Russian general, the commanding general of the Russian 7th Airborne Division and a deputy commander of the 41st Combined Arms Army died in combat, Russian-Ukrainian media reported yesterday. The UK's independent quoted a source as saying the 47-year-old general had been killed by a sniper. From Newsmax, Senator Lindsey Graham calling for the assassination of Russian President Vladimir Putin. He made his comments in a televised interview last night and in a tweet. Graham added, the only way this ends is for somebody in Russia to take this guy out. You would be doing your country and the world a great service. Ted Cruz was critical of the remarks, tweeting out, this is an exceptionally bad idea. Use massive economic sanctions, boycott Russian oil and gas, provide military aid so the Ukrainians can defend themselves. But we should not be calling for the assassination of heads of state. Marjorie Taylor Greene also tweeted out, while we are all praying for peace and the people of Ukraine, this is irresponsible, dangerous, and unhinged. We need leaders with calm minds and steady wisdom, not bloodthirsty, warmongering politicians trying to tweet tough by demanding assassinations. Americans don't want war. From Western Journal, a bounty has been placed on, been put out for Vladimir Putin. Alex Konikin, a Russian businessman, has offered a $1 million bounty to Russian officers to arrest Putin as a war criminal, Business Insider is reporting. And from Fox News via Yahoo, China on Wednesday said it would not consider sanctioning Russia for its illegal invasion of Ukraine and said it would continue with normal trade cooperation. And China abstained during a UN General Assembly vote Wednesday on a non-binding resolution calling on Russia to halt its war in Ukraine and withdraw its military forces. Just five nations of the world opposed the resolution: Russia, Belarus, Eritrea, North Korea, and Syria. It passed with 141 aye votes. From Newsmax, the Biden administration is asking Congress for $32.5 billion to assist Ukraine during Russia's attack to help the U.S. fight. $32.5 billion to assist Ukraine, but then also to help the U.S. fight COVID-19, the Washington Post reported yesterday. A total of $10 billion would go to help Ukraine deal with its growing humanitarian needs, but they're also seeking more than twice that, $22.5 billion to restore key public health programs to help guard against future variants of the coronavirus with testing, therapeutics, and vaccines, the Post reported. Senate Republicans have indicated that they might oppose any new COVID spending until the administration accounts for previous funding. They say the Biden administration has not fully accounted for the $1.9 trillion package that was adopted last year. Also, we have coming from Fox News, the Biden administration yesterday announced it's granting protection from deportation to Ukrainian nationals already in the U.S. after calls to do so from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. Department of Homeland Security announced that Ukraine will be designated for temporary protected status, TPS, for 18 months. This does protect nationals of designated countries living in the U.S. from deportation if they're eligible and allows them to apply for work permits and to travel freely. Daily Caller reporting that DirecTV is dropping Russian state media outlet RT America from its programming lineup due to the invasion into Ukraine. Their decision follows efforts by U.S. tech companies to restrict Russian state media on their platforms. Facebook parent company Meta is blocking RT and Sputnik in certain European countries. Other platforms have reduced circulation of the outlet's content and prevented them from earning money through advertising. Washington Examiner even telling us that in Germany, they have snatched a $600 million yacht from a Russian oligarch. German officials have ensured that Russian billionaire, his last name is Usmanov, will not be able to relax on his lavish yacht while Russian firepower pummels Ukraine. Authorities this week seized his treasured $600 million 512-foot yacht called Dilbar, where that was being refitted in a German shipyard. Sources told Forbes the seizure came in response to European Union sanctions against him and other oligarchs Monday over Russia's invasion. He was one of 26 individuals targeted by a batch of sanctions. They froze his assets in the 27-member European bloc, banned him from traveling throughout the EU territory. The yacht was seized as part of the asset freeze. Coming from Newsmax, cyber war has been declared on the U.S., with Russia using preliminary but increasing steps in the campaign to cripple the nation's banking systems, potentially other industries, according to the new report. The U.S. major banks, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Goldman Sachs, are under constant cyber attacks from criminals usually located in Russia, Iran, or China. But those attacks are intensifying after sanctions were announced over the invasion of Ukraine. One big bank executive said the consensus is the interest in the industry is that Russia is behind the latest attacks, adding that so far there have been no real breaches. The Washington Free Beacon telling us that while Russia wages a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, the U.S. Army is putting its soldiers through training on, guess what, folks, gender pronouns, and coaching officers on when to offer soldiers gender transition surgery. Just think about this, folks. This world is in turmoil, a world in conflict. We see nations that have heightened their military. And what are we doing in the U.S.? We're putting our soldiers through gender pronoun training and coaching them on when to offer soldiers gender transition surgery, according to an official military presentation on the subject obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. It's a mandatory presentation. It's called Policy on the Military Service of Transgender Persons and Persons with Gender Dysphoria. It was given to officers earlier this month, along with instructions for them to train their subordinates on the material. Listen to this. All Army personnel, from soldiers to commanders and supervisors, are required to participate in the training by September 30th, 2022, according to the spokesman. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. While we have nations that are preparing and engaged in war, we are training our soldiers, our military, on transgenderism. Shame on us. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, another heavy question. Is it true that some evolutionists actually claim that there's an evolutionary justification for rape?
Yes, indeed, Chris. As disgusting and far-fetched as it may sound, evolutionists claim that rape has its basis in evolutionary survival of the fittest. In evolution, the two main goals are survival and reproduction. That organism which can reproduce the most, pass its genes on to the greatest extent, is the one that's most fit. Thus, rape has its justification. If man is an evolved animal, this must be right for us too. But Chris, animal behavior should not be the model for human behavior. Humans were created in the image of God and are obliged to abide by His law. His design was one man for one woman for life, and that back to Genesis truth is the only one that will work.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America and a News Roundup Day here today on the broadcast. Tons of stories here that Sandy has been put together for us, and certainly thank you for your tuning in and staying informed through Crosstalk. You know, I've had some emails and periodically a phone call from an individual who says, hey, we sure miss having Courtney call in on the program, and we are of the understanding that our friend Courtney, who would call in from time to time here on the broadcast, sometimes he told us that his health was not good, but indication is that Courtney went home to be with the Lord and wanted to pass on. Courtney was one who was so beloved by our listeners here as far as his comments were coming in, and always encouraging parents to take care of their children, to watch their children, to train their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and certainly Courtney with the Savior whom he loves so much. Our Friday News Roundup does continue here today on Crosstalk. A report from Pamela Geller here indicates that in Huntsville, Alabama, and she got this through Breitbart, Huntsville, Alabama solar panel factory will close. Why is this solar panel factory closing? After Joe Biden exempted foreign-made bifacial solar panels from the U.S. tariffs earlier this month. LG Electronics, a South Korean-based company, announced it will be closing its Huntsville solar panel manufacturing operation, resulting in the layoffs of about 160 American employees and another 60 Americans who are employed by contract workers. They said they hope to retain as many employees as they can, but the announcement comes just weeks after Biden decided to exempt foreign-made bifacial solar panels, the overwhelming majority of which come from China, from Section 201 tariffs on solar imports to the U.S. that were first imposed by President Trump in January of 2018 at a 30% rate. And as a result, we just continue to feed the appetite of communist China. Let's see. Here is a story from FoxNews.com. The U.S. should immediately do the right thing and obvious thing and recognize Taiwan as a free and sovereign country. That was a statement from U.S. Secretary, former U.S. Secretary Mike Pompeo. He wrote that last night in a series of Twitter messages. He said a possible Chinese invasion of Taiwan has loomed as a possibility in the wake of Russia's Ukraine invasion. Some foreign affairs experts arguing that U.S. adversaries may be eager to test how willing and able the Biden administration is to respond to acts of aggression. But Pompeo warned that Taiwan must not suffer an attack similar to that of Ukraine, saying, quote, if any of us were mistaken or complacent about the risk to that freedom, I think we need to only watch what's taking place in Europe today to see that this continues to demand deep, concerted, focused leadership from those of us who cherish freedom. End of quote from former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Washington Free Beacon reporting a senior Russian official announced yesterday that a new nuclear deal with Iran will be announced within 24 to 48 hours, signaling the Biden administration's continued reliance and cooperation with Moscow, even as it's waging full-scale war in Ukraine. And what they're saying is that, well, this is a total side issue, has nothing to do with what's going on with Ukraine. We're working out with our Russian counterparts and, you know, the ability to have this new Iran agreement, a new Iran deal. Terms of the deal remain unknown as the Biden administration has sought to cut Congress out of the deal and prevent it from performing its legally mandated oversight under the Iran Nuclear Agreement Review Act of 2015. Congress must give its approval of any new agreement with Iran. Well, CBN News is reporting that one of the biggest issues is Iran's push for more sanctions relief if the nuclear agreement is restored. Most notably, Iran wants its Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps taken off the United States terror list. While the U.S. has pushed back on Iranian demand about the Iran Guard, any restoration of the nuclear agreement would almost certainly require Washington to lift sanctions on Iranian terror-related entities. Also being reported at the Washington Free Beacon is that sanctioned Russian tankers are carrying illicit Iranian oil, providing a fresh financial lifeline for Tehran and highlighting significant gaps in the Biden administration's enforcement of sanctions. The two tankers, named the Pegasus and Linda, Officially sanctioned as part of the U.S. efforts to isolate Russian businesses over the Ukrainian invasion, it now has become apparent that the two ships have been ferrying the illicit Iranian crude oil in just recent months, a move experts say is a scheme to evade U.S. sanctions and signal an increase in Tehran-Moscow relations. Satellite imagery and detailed information on both vessels were provided by United Against Nuclear Iran, UANI. It's a watchdog group that closely tracks Tehran's illicit oil trade. Russia UANI said in a statement yesterday that it has joined its ally China in participating in Iranian sanctions busting schemes, to smuggle crude oil and gas. Russia, China, and Iran now leading the charge to bust the U.S. oil sanctions. The anti-U.S. alliance between these rogue nations is generating scrutiny amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine and efforts by the Biden administration to ink a revamped version of the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran. And folks, meanwhile, as we reported just a week ago, we have purchased more oil from Russia last year than ever in the history of the United States of America. Why are we doing that? We were energy independent, not no more. Gatestone Institute indicating that the ruling mullahs are asking the Biden administration for guarantees that the U.S. will never be able to leave the new nuclear deal, even after President Joe Biden leaves office, should signal that the mullahs want this deal badly and it should set off all kinds of alarms. They want a deal whereby no future president, no future entity would be able to nullify, like what President Trump did when he came into office, nullifying what happened under the Obama administration. It's worth noting that Iran's ballistic missile capability is one of the most critical pillars of Tehran's national security policy. Iran surpassed Israel, possesses the largest ballistic missile program in the Middle East. Second, as critical sanctions are removed on the Islamic Republic's energy, financial, and shipping sectors, a nuclear deal will lift the financial strain on the Iranian regime. The Chinese Communist Party, however, is strengthening its ties with the Iranian regime and hoping it violates U.S. sanctions conveniently without facing any repercussions from the Biden administration. China is ramping up its oil imports from Iran in spite of U.S. sanctions, and it recently announced the launch of a new 25-year strategic partnership with the Islamic Republic. Folks, keep your eyes on what is taking place, these alliances with Russia, Iran, China that are taking place. This is also interesting. PBS is reporting, and the Gateway Pundit had the story, but PBS reporting that the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, made clear Wednesday that the Fed will begin raising interest rates this month in a high-stakes effort to restrain surging inflation. Powell also shared the potential to have more than one reserve currency in the world. How is that? It's a shocking statement coming from the head of the Fed, to have the potential to have more than one reserve currency in the world. Will this be the catalyst that brings down the dollar? The U.S. has benefited from having the reserve currency of the world. As the Biden gang continues to spend the dollar, continues to get weaker, now the U.S. is pushing Russia away from using the U.S. dollar as its reserve currency, and this may not be so smart. In addition, the U.S. has benefited from having the U.S. dollar, the currency used for oil transactions worldwide. This petrodollar arrangement may go by the wayside, as some fear Russia and the Saudis have already made an arrangement to trade oil outside of the dollar. Folks, we've been talking about the Great Reset. We've been talking about this New World Order. And all these steps are being put into place to see that come about. And the U.S. being the very catalyst to make that happen. Let's go to thenewamerican.com. A long-awaited preliminary report from former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman's investigation into issues with the state's 2020 general election was released on Tuesday, and Gableman spoke at the state capitol in Madison. The report cited several concerns with the state's election procedures during the 2020 election, then offered suggestions of ways to tighten the system going forward, and even recommended that the state look into decertifying the results of the 2020 election. In Wisconsin, Joe Biden defeated former President Trump by approximately 21,000 votes, and Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes helped to push Biden over the 270 needed to give him the presidency. Gableman said that the legislature ought to take a very hard look at the option of decertification of the 2020 Wisconsin presidential election. He also said the investigation remains incomplete due to several roadblocks placed in the way by state and local officials who are reluctant to either testify or share subpoenaed records with the investigators. Among irregularities reported was Mark Zuckerberg's Center for Tech and Civic Life, $8.8 million in grants primarily to Wisconsin's largest cities of Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Racine, and Kenosha. Gableman described the Zuckerberg grants as prohibited election bribery, citing Wisconsin law that prohibits cities from receiving money to get voters to the polls or to facilitate elections voting by absentee ballot. The Zuckerberg-funded CTCL Zuckerberg 5 scheme would prove to be an effective way to accomplish the partisan effort to turn out their desired voters, and it was done with the active support of the very people and the governmental institution, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, that were supposed to be guarding the Wisconsin elections administrative process from partisan activities they facilitated, the report said. Now, there is also a former law clerk for a federal appellate judge and senior contributor to The Federalist, Margaret Cleveland, who indicated that Special Counsel Gableman, the retired Supreme Court justice, vetted more than 90 nursing homes in five different counties before concluding there was widespread election fraud at Wisconsin nursing homes in November of 2020. She said, according to the report, nursing home staff and administrators illegally handed absentee ballots, illegally assisted with marking residents' ballots, illegally witnessed the voting, and possibly included forgery of the elderly residents' signatures. Under Wisconsin law, these violations of the election code constitute fraud. Well, Gableman vows to soldier on with the efforts. The work of the Office of the Special Counsel is just getting started. The office will remain authorized during the pendency of litigation to ensure that once the Wisconsin Supreme Court vindicates the right of the people to know what their own government is up to, so we can expeditiously run necessary tests. And then we go to the state of Arizona as well here. From the Gateway Pundit, the Arizona GOP filed a lawsuit against the radical leftist Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs to protect Arizona's elections from bad actors. The full forensic audit of Maricopa County discovered numerous election law violations, including lack of signature verification, the chain of custody documentation, a lack of that. Auditors identified over 700,000 ballot discrepancies during the audit. The lawsuit was filed by the Arizona Supreme Court, seeking to ban unconstitutional drop boxes and no-excuse mail-in voting. It will also require the Arizona Secretary of State to include signature verification guidelines in the Arizona Elections Procedures Manual. Friends, so many things that are taking place across this nation here today. I understand that what we are seeing unfold is certainly troubling news, and the issues that are going on. The Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times would come, and talks about the increase of deception that would be on those who would be deceived and being deceived. Check it out in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've got a few more stories to share following the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Have you ever had someone attempt to talk to you about the Watchtower Society or the Book of Mormon? Or perhaps a friend has told you they've started yoga and invite you to participate. You know you heard something about these religions and teachings, but never had the material in your hand to give a biblical response to their teachings. Well, now you can. Two world-renowned researchers, Dr. Ron Carlson and Ed Decker, have teamed up to write Fast Facts on False Teachings, an easy-to-use resource guide that gives you quick, clear facts about several cults and false teachings. You'll find chapters on atheism, Freemasonry, Hinduism and yoga, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, and much more. Fast Facts on False Teachings is available for a donation of $16 or more by writing VCY America at 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208. To make your donation by phone, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and for the most part, we try to have a news roundup time on Fridays. Not always possible, but most times that is the case. And just observing some of the matters that are going on, not only in our nation, but around the world as well. A very troubling story in the New York Post, talking, here's how things went. It was a blood trans food shun. Yeah, closed-circuit TV cameras captured the revolting moment that a lawyer in the UK allegedly injected grocery store food with his own blood. The shocking footage presented to jurors at Isleworth Crown Court shows that the 37-year-old defendant apparently sticking syringes into apples, chicken fillets, and ready-to-eat meals at a Sainsbury supermarket. The bloodbath was part of a grocery store rampage that took place on August 25th at Sainsbury's Waitrose and Tesco markets in western London. The behavior was bizarre, his lawyer said, told the jury during a court appearance, adding that he was not of a fit and sane mind. Isn't that what we so often hear after the Islamic attacks take place? Well, it's just that they have mental illness. I mean, how many cases of mental illness continue from those who are followers of Islam? Gatestone Institute is also reporting, according to a new report published by the Greece's Ministry of Education and Religious Affairs, there were 2,339 incidents of church desecrations in the country between 2015 and 2020, when tiny Greece, seen as Europe's eastern gateway, was flooded with migrants from the Islamic world. Greek City Times wrote regarding the report, there appears to be a correlation between the increase in illegal migration and the incidence of attacks on Greek Orthodox religious churches and religious spaces during the five-year period which occurred during the peak of the migration crisis. 385 incidents against Christian churches and buildings. Vandalism, burglary, theft, sacrilege, necromancy, robbery, placement of explosive devices, and other desecrations. The Daily Caller reporting that the mother of a Marine killed in an explosion in Kabul during the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan slammed President Joe Biden for failing to mention the 13 Marines who died in the attack in his recent State of the Union address on Tuesday. The mother, one of this would be Shana Chappell, mother of Kareem Nakuri, one of the 13 Marines killed in the suicide bombings at the airport in August 2021, accused Biden of indifference toward the lives of the soldiers, writing that the fallen Marine's blood was on his hands. The Epoch Times telling us several trucker convoys comprising thousands of vehicles had converged earlier this week in Monrovia, Indiana, and held a rally there March 2nd before continuing their trip toward D.C. The People's Convoy set off from California February 23rd, rolled through the multiple states like Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma, and Missouri, then arrived in Indiana on their way to Ohio, Maryland, then Washington, D.C. That tomorrow is the date in which all organizers had hoped to arrive. We know also the American convoy as well. We interviewed coming down through several northern states as well. Want to deal with some COVID-related issues here today. This is from the vaccinereaction.org. Two adolescent boys suddenly passed away in Connecticut and Michigan within a week after receiving the second dose of Pfizer-BioNTech's BNT162b2 messenger RNA COVID-19 vaccine. Died due to myocarditis, according to a study published in the Journal Archives of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine on February the 14th. The boys found dead in their beds just a few days after they were vaccinated. Neither had a history of medical problems. Only one of them complained of any symptoms, namely headache and stomach ache, in the days leading up to this, but notably signs of cardiac distress were absent for both boys before they died. Medical examiners from those states who authored the study detailing autopsy findings identified signs of an unusual type of myocarditis that includes the presence of excessive inflammation. CBS News reporting the National Football League and its Players Association have agreed to end the league's COVID-19 protocols, according to an internal memo that was obtained by CBS News yesterday. Effectively, immediately, players will no longer be required to follow the rules implemented at the beginning of the pandemic, making the NFL one of the first major sports leagues to drop its COVID-19 protocols. The Epoch Times has the headline that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Tuesday said three rapid COVID-19 tests should not be used because of the potential for producing false results. The FDA told people to stop using the Celltrion Diatrust COVID-19 Ag Rapid Test, the SD Biosensor Incorporated Standard Q COVID-19 Ag Home Test, and the FlowFlex, SARS-CoV-2 Antigen Rapid Test. That's self-testing. The FDA is concerned about the risk of false results from using those tests. According to the agency, they're saying these tests have not been authorized, cleared, or approved by the FDA for distribution within the U.S. From the New American, a New Zealand High Court ruled, last Friday that a government mandate requiring police and military personnel to be vaccinated against COVID-19 was unlawful and therefore of no effect. A 40-page decision by Justice Francis Cook found that the mandate that required employees of the police and the New Zealand Defense Forces to get two doses of vaccine by March 1st or lose their jobs both infringed on individual rights and did not materially advance its stated objective of guaranteeing continuity of government services. From hotair.com, we find D.C. schools, while many schools lifting mask mandates, not so for Washington, D.C. WND.com, vaccine and mask mandates are being dropped precipitously across the U.S., but some say that the U.S. is returning to normalcy, but a new report in Forbes suggests that the new norm will include digital vaccine passports to be used to travel, to access venues, and much more. Here's a quote. While the United States government has not issued a federal digital vaccine pass, a national standard has nevertheless emerged. To date, 21 states, the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico offer accessibility to the Smart Health Card. It's a verifiable digital proof of vaccination developed through the Vaccination Credential Initiative, the VCI, a global coalition of public and private stakeholders, including Microsoft, Salesforce, Oracle, the Mayo Clinic, and other health and tech heavyweights, the report explained. Four more states are lining up their requirements right now. Every Canadian province is using the system, as are Aruba, the Cayman Islands, Singapore, and Japan. Also Kenya, Rwanda are using this as well. Totally amazing, folks, is what's going on behind the scenes. And from Bangladesh News, we'll hear this and then I'll open some phone lines. From Bangladesh News, it says, would you like it in, or like to sign in with your palm? That was the question a cheerful Amazon employee posed when greeting a customer last week at the opening of a Whole Foods market in Washington Glover Park's neighborhood. She added, you can also begin shopping by scanning the QR code in your Amazon app. Let's go for the palm, the customer said. In less than a minute, the customer scanned both hands on a kiosk and linked them to their Amazon account. For the next 30 minutes, the customer shopped. Cameras and sensors recorded the moves, creating a virtual shopping cart in real time. Then this customer simply walked out, no cashier necessary. Whole Foods, or rather Amazon, would bill their account later. More than 4 years ago, Amazon bought Whole Foods for $13 billion. Now the Amazonification of the grocery store is physically complete, as showcased by the revamped Whole Foods store in Glover Park. The technology known as Just Walk Out consists of hundreds of cameras with a view of customers. Sensors are placed under every apple, carton of oatmeal, and loaf of multi-grain bread. Behind the scenes, deep learning software analyzes the shopping activity to detect patterns and increase the accuracy of its charges. The technology is comparable to what's used in driverless cars. It identifies when we lift a product from a shelf, freezer, or produce bin, automatically itemizes the goods, and charges us when we leave the store. Anyone with an Amazon account, not just Prime members, can shop this way and skip a cash register since the bill shows up in our Amazon account. Amazon has tested such automation for more than 4 years, starting with the 24 Amazon Go convenience stores and several Amazon Fresh grocery stores around the country. The palm scanning technology, known as Amazon One, is also being licensed by others, such as a Hudson convenience store at Dallas Love Field Airport and Shaquille O'Neal's Big Chicken restaurant at Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle. It's a very provocative story here. It's coming from Bangladesh News, and a writer here, it looks like it originally appeared in the New York Times, Cecilia Kang, writing the article. Let's open some phone lines here. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Hats off to the governor of Iowa. Governor Kim Reynolds signed a bill yesterday banning biological males from women's sports. She said in a statement, "This is a victory for girls' sports in Iowa. No amount of talent, training, or effort can make up for the natural physical advantages males have over females. It's simply a reality of human biology," wrote the governor. "Forcing females to compete against males is the opposite of inclusivity, and it's absolutely unfair." Iowa, now the 11th state in the nation to ban biological males from women's sports. Meanwhile, Twitter has suspended the account of a Republican congresswoman, Vicki Hartzler, out of Missouri, and suspended her, reports the Free Beacon, because she said women's sports are for women, not men pretending to be women. So, friends, we'll go to our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. 800-733-9829 is our number, and let's begin with Barry in the state of Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to make a statement that, I mean, I've said before, I've been on the program before, but all this mess can be laid at the church's feet because God put the church in this world to keep the devil and all those that follow him in check. You know, and I'll tell you, this is where the rapture comes into place. I mean, I believe we're getting really close to it, you know, because God is going to take out his church, his true church, not people that call themselves Christians, but the people that are really born again and saved. You know, because the Bible says, he says, he'll keep those from that hour of temptation, those that have kept his patience. In other words, those that have been diligent in a relationship with him. And I believe somewhere in there, that's where God's going to take out those, the righteous. You know, and not everybody's going to go to make some kind of profession, because the Bible says, if the righteous shall scarcely make it, where shall the sinners and the unbelievers be? Aren't sinners and unbelievers the same? No. Sinners are those that know to do right and do it not. That's what the Bible said. He that knoweth to do right and to do it not, to him it is sin. And sinners are those that know. Those, that's why it talks about in the Bible where those are going to be beheaded during the tribulation. Are those that know.
And Barry, thank you, Barry. And let me just say this, that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter into the kingdom. And there is, as you say, there's going to be a separation of the wheat from the tares.
And goats.
Yep, indeed. Indeed. Thanks for the call here today. We got Z next in Madison. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I just wanted to give you guys a call. I'm a little concerned as a citizen for what's going on with the biometrics or the biological QRs or any kind of passports.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's at what point are we going as a society? What point are we going to say enough's enough?
That's a great question, but right now you got many people saying, they're raising up their sleeves and say, "Count me in."
Sure.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, if people are, you know, voluntarily saying, "Yeah, this is, you know, means of convenience to get this QR code or scan my palms so I can have this convenience in shopping." So, you know, as long as we continue to volunteer for that, it's going to increase.
All I can say is keep faith and put your money where your heart and where Jesus lives.
Thank you, Z, for the comments here. We're going to be back here in just a minute on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. All the eyes of the world are on Ukraine and Russia, but broadcast partner Dr. Peter Vincent Pry warns Americans to be very careful of propaganda that would desire to see America drawn into a war in Ukraine, a war with Russia. Why is this dangerous? For many levels, we're talking about then two nuclear nations, America and Russia, bumping up against each other. Only makes for the possibility of a misfire, miscommunication, a nuclear war. There's also no American national interest in Ukraine. The Biden regime has made so many blunders. One has to wonder if they're blundering their way into a war on purpose, not only to cover their mistakes and national crisis back at home,
but also to further erode America on the world stage and bring about a new global superpower, America no longer, but China and Russia, and bring down America. I'm Brandon House.
By the way, with for those within driving distance of southeast Wisconsin, tomorrow night we're looking forward to having Bill Federer with us, speaking on a very important topic on the dangerous slide towards socialism. He is going to be warning of countries that have gone down this path. He's going to talk about the communist goals that were read into the congressional record back in the early 60s. And he's got a warning for America and also how we can keep from going down this path. He's speaking tomorrow night, 6 p.m. at the Waukesha Expo. That's just a little bit west here of our city of Milwaukee. And looking forward to it. It begins at 6 p.m. and doors open at 5. Free admission, a free will offering being taken. And we will be broadcasting this over the network as a whole, VCY America. Let's go next to Holly in Wisconsin. By the way, that's 6 p.m. Central Time. Hi, Holly. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. You brought up the Freedom Convoy, and I just wanted to let your listeners know who are in Wisconsin and are able. There is a group of them coming to Portage tonight at 5 p.m., and they're going to depart from there tomorrow at 8 a.m. and head towards Beloit. So it'd be great if Wisconsinites are able to show up on all the overpasses on Interstate 90 there, to go ahead and show your support and hop on there and wave at the truckers. They'd really appreciate that.
Great. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you, Jim.
Appreciate the report. Yep. Let's go to Franklin, Washington. Richard, you're on the air.
Thanks, Jim, for taking the call. What I'm referring to is the duty-free entry into the United States of solar panels from China. The president does not have that constitutional authority, and if you read Article 1, Section 1, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. The president has very, very little unilateral authority, and he doesn't have it here, I'm quite sure. I'd like to see it challenged in court.
Richard, thank you for the call. And meanwhile, we shoot ourselves in the foot, too, don't we?
Yes.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brent. Brandon. Hey, Jim.
Hey,
I tell you, a few years back, I talked to Beth and said, look, it's Friday. It's hell day, meaning you're going to do the news roundup, and we know you can only get through all of about one-third of all the evil that's going on. But now it's not only your show, it's also Brandon's show, and it's every day for both shows.
Mm.
There's so much stuff going on. But anyway, regarding the government not wanting people to take the COVID test because they're not accurate, and they said the FDA didn't approve them. Yeah, the FDA didn't approve these fake vaccines either, but they're trying to force it down everybody's throat. I just pray with this government skullduggery by the lefties and globalists that it'll all come down on their own heads while we with all escape.
You know, Brad, that ultimate destiny is coming for those who don't know Christ as Savior, and that is really our plea for individuals to come to know the Lord. But we see all the evil that's going on in this world, and that's the Scripture says evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, and we're seeing that exhibited before our very eyes. But we continue to shine the light of the truth of the gospel, but there is a judgment day that is coming.
Yes, there is.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Zoe, Champaign, Illinois, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I'm a little embarrassed because I'm calling in regarding the, you've heard about the unique patient identifier that they're pushing through, and your people need to contact the Senate, their senators and the Senate Ways and Means Committee to try to stop them from funding everybody being given a unique patient identifier. I keep thinking there's another name for this, but I can't. I mean, I know it's unique identifier and the patient. I hope that's correct. I don't know if you know or not. But anyway, this is really dangerous because it will allow all your very private medical information, even conversations with doctors, getting a second opinion, anything, to be shared all over the place with health authorities and any health and human service, and it could even fall into foreign hands if it got hacked. And it's just very, very dangerous, and it just ends privacy for patients. And so people really need to contact their senators and the senators on the Senate Ways and Means Committee. I think it's already passed the House.
Yeah, and that information I don't have. Some just abbreviated for UPI. You need.
Yeah, that was what I was trying to look that up to make sure I was right. Thank you. That's what I wanted you to do. Thank you.
Okay, and that's a unique patient identifier. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. We've got Alice in Arkansas. You're on the air. And we apologize, Alex. Please give us a call back here. Leroy, Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, we just wanted to point out two points of contradiction. The current administration called Canada and told them to use federal force to get rid of the convoys. Now, currently, as you stated earlier, in America, they're getting rid of mask mandates and everything else. But don't be fooled. It's only for a little while. The second point is this. Jody Heiss is running for Secretary of State here in Georgia, saying he's going to straighten out the election system here. But he had objections in his hand when they were certifying the election last year. Neither party is for us. Pray.
Okay, pray indeed. Leroy, thank you so much for your call here today. Listening in Atlanta. And, these are certainly troublesome times, ladies and gentlemen, but need to continue to look up and continue our prayers for our nation. Continue to be praying for the situation that's unfolding in Iraq. I should say, I'm referring to Ukraine and Russia and China escalations, Iran there as well. These are very difficult days ahead, and be praying for believers, be praying for ministries, be praying for pastors, be praying for those who are issuing relief as well for these areas. One final story here, as we're less than a half minute away. We have a woman that has been involved in blowing the whistle here on abortion and leading a 40 Days for Life campaign in Montana. And had not confirmed a single saved baby, converted an abortion worker, any positive results at all, came from a family of which abortion had a history as well. And then she learned that her granddaughter was expecting and planned to have an abortion. It's a very difficult time, but we understand that workers outside the clinic ministered to one that came and come to find out it was a lady's own granddaughter, and the baby was saved. God bless the individuals who are there standing outside the clinic and being a voice for life. Friends, our time is gone. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.